Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Sabrina bringing us in, hour two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Network. Yes. We are live 6 to 10 a.m. now on 105.1. This was a really popular album during Hood to Coast last year, Sabrina. She was getting blasted out of a lot of cars.
I imagine this was big on 105.1, so it's perfect that it's going to stick around on 105.1.
You're damn right it is. She's going nowhere. We got Ben Golliver coming up. He is a Washington Post NBA columnist. He started here. He grew up in Beaverton, made his bones covering the Portland Trailblazers, and has since worked his way up multiple stops, and now he is a big-time sports writer at a big-time publication. He wrote a really good piece on Young Hansen, and we'll talk to him about that piece, and we'll also just get his thoughts on Dame's return and, in general, what he makes of the Portland Trailblazers. As my buddy John texts and says, you actually sound okay and good on FM? Question mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. I hate hearing my voice, so I appreciate that.
It's like a non-compliment compliment. We'll take it.
It's one of those back.
You actually sound halfway decent now. Hey, what do you say? I've been on the air for 13 years, man.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Now we can break through.
Thanks for listening.
We have everybody in the building really early today. They're already digging in on the bagels and the coffee. And
dude, you offer free food, people will be here. There's free food out here. Everybody's in town early today.
That's the way to do it right there. That's how you get them to arrive early. We will talk about the Damian Lillard thing. One of our listeners, Larry, says, come on, fellas, how many other guarantees did Dame have available? Dame got a buyout from the Bucks and new contract with the Blazers, and Dame returning makes increased valuation for the Blazers. So glad to hear Dame's back, but his return increases the win. Does his return increase the win for the Blazers? Not next year because he won't play.
No, although he was asked about that yesterday, and they both gave like a smirky, we're going to take our time, and as long as we
need. He's not going to play this season. I don't know why we couldn't just say that.
Aaron Rodgers almost returned in a week, Bob. Okay, let's not overlook this, okay? Aaron Rodgers nearly returned by Halloween. You're telling me Dame might be back by Christmas.
Look, I don't want to be naive here, all right? I want to get into this audio. We have a lot of audio, and we got to talk to Golliver. I don't want to be naive. Absolutely. This is a business decision as much as it is just emotional as well.
Yeah, we've said that the entire time.
And that's okay to know that and acknowledge it. I also think sometimes it's, if you're not going to win a championship, and there's only so many teams in that league that'll do it, and we know the Blazers are not at that level yet, it's also not a bad thing to have your fan base go, I like my team. Even if they only win 39 games or 41 games next year, which would be an increase, there's going to be a lot of nights you walk out of that building going, man, that was fun. And I know the ultimate goal, in our opinions, as sports media people and fans of sports, we want to see a championship here. I want to see that happen again. I didn't get to experience it the first time. But right now, they're not at that level. So they're giving us the Tumani, Denny, Drew, what's Scoot and Shea going to be, Donovan, Young Hansen. Like, they're giving us a roster that goes, they're going to compete every night. They're going to play hard. And some nights, they're going to pull off upsets. Other nights, they're going to lose nail biters. But it's fun, and it's something to care about. It's not been successful, but in a way, it's like turning a page to...
Back to where we were.
Let's get back to, competing and being a playoff team. That's their goal.
Look, we've said the entire time that there's two sides to this coin. There is the, this is awesome, this is so cool. Even yesterday watching the presser, I'm like, it doesn't feel real. Like, it's just kind of strange holding up the uniform like he was drafted again. Like, what are we doing? It's strange, and it's going to take a long time to sink in. It's okay to appreciate it, to enjoy the fun nature of Damian Lillard being back in a Blazer uniform while also asking aloud, how does this all work on the basketball floor? And we don't know the answer to that because what you're saying, Sprague, is 100% spot on. And that is, he's not going to play this year. And so what will the roster look like a year from now? Then it's a more applicable question about how does Dame fit into this? Is Scoot and Shaden going to still be here? Do you trade Jrue Holiday? Like, I have no clue what all of that is going to look like a calendar year from now. Where my tone has shifted a little bit on this from when the news was initially broken, because I had mainly that thought of like, man, this is a business move. You're trying to sell tickets. With all the murky future that we're facing here in this city of, do we need a new arena? The team is for sale. That makes me uncomfortable. When you have the commissioner of the league come out and say it's our preference the team stays there, not they're going to stay there or it's a guarantee they're going to stay there, I get a little nervous. I pucker a little bit. And so anything that we can do to help the bottom line in the short term to make us more attractive to not only a buyer, but on top of that, keep the NBA's foot on the gas of keeping them in Portland, I'm all for it, and I think Damian Lillard helps that.
This one's a lengthy one, but let's start. I thought this was a great question answer. The only thing I would have liked, because I think Richmond asked this one, is I would have loved to have heard Joe's thought, but Dame gave a great answer of the relationship with Joe Cronin clearly came to a crashing end before the trade. He was then traded and bitter, and you can't blame anybody on either side, I think, for feeling how they felt. Here was Dame Lillard on his relationship being mended with general manager Joe Cronin.
I think toward the end, I think it was a lot of misunderstandings and miscommunication. And when something like that comes up, you know, people are hurt. You know, I'm not saying nothing, and then I'm seeing things that were said by me, you know, and now I'm looking at things sideways. So I think more than anything, it was miscommunication and misunderstandings. And Joe and I never sat down and talked about that. You know, it just kind of sat out there and we let it be what it was. And I think that was the mistake. But I wouldn't say I was. When I left, I just was not a big fan of Joe. Me and Joe had a great relationship, you know, the entire time before he became GM and while he was GM. But I think at that time, you know, it was a hard time, you know. Like, I was moving on and things were being said, like I said. So it was more a misunderstanding than anything. And the last game that we played here, you know, I went over before the game and I said hello to Joe. I said hello to Jody. And for me, I really wanted them to know that it was, you know, no hard feelings. You know, during that time when it was happening, sometimes when you're emotional, you handle things from a position of protecting yourself and not knowing what's going on, you know, on the other side. And then over time, you calm down and you figure it out. And, you know, I'm not a kid. So, you know, that wasn't hard for me to do. And it honestly wasn't even after that, it wasn't a long conversation to move past that. And I think that was because we never had a bad relationship, or it was never a dislike or us not being a fan of each other, like you said.
Chauncey Billups said at the start of the press conference, Dame Lillard's going to be the most expensive assistant coach in the NBA. He'll make $70 million next year from both Milwaukee and Portland. And to hear that, like, you know, ultimately the emotions and I don't even know if betrayal's the right term, but whatever he felt at the end where he left, you know, he went back to what the city meant to him. He has built kind of an empire here, really. His family's here. There's businesses. He's really entrenched in the community. He's got a camp opening today. He helps a lot of the local schools that really need guidance of a Damian Lillard or help of the Damian Lillard. And so for both sides to kind of mend those fences, it sounds like it's something that, you know, maybe the first like 6 months in Milwaukee, it was like, what's happening here? I don't like, he realized very quickly and they kept in touch. Joe's a professional. He's been around this team forever. And he also, I think, realized the magnitude of the decision to trade Dame Lillard. And
there was a bit of the Luka Doncic reaction of like, we knew he was a big deal, but we didn't quite realize it was going to have that level of impact on him.
Yeah, I mean, I'll at least say this for him, too, like to give him some credit. Like, he didn't put his feet down and say, I made the right decision. Like, Nico Harrison is like, fortune favors the bold when they got the number one pick. And he's like doubling and tripling down. Joe hasn't done any of that. And him and Dame have mended their fences and they're okay now.
Clearly, they're okay now. And I would add to that I think everything that Dame felt at the time was completely valid. I mean, he was told for 2 years, and we were told for 2 years, we're going to go so all in, it's going to hurt, and allow us to tank so that we can go get the assets that we need to put a winning team around you.
Yes.
And then for three first-round picks in back-to-back years, they drafted an unproven player at 7 who didn't play college ball, drafted a guy in the 20s, and then drafted Scoot Henderson. And so they went completely against their word of what they were telling him, and he was completely in the right to ask out. It's a good reminder, though, for everybody. We talk about this in a million different professions. We deal with this with college football coaches all the time. The grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence. You could think bigger opportunity, chance to win, I want to go do X, Y, and Z and accomplish all of this. It doesn't always work out that way, and you don't quite have that same level of love that you had in your new city that you did in your old. And so to have him back, you could clearly tell that was a big reason why he wanted to return.
We're going to talk with Ben Golliver here in just a moment, Washington Post NBA reporter, on his piece on Jan Hansen and Dame and the roster building of the Blazers. Very quickly, setting stuff up, Josh Pate's going to join us at 8:45. College football analyst Josh Pate does a great job on Late Kick. That is his show on YouTube.
It's Big Ten Media Day's kickoff today,
Big
baby.
Big Ten Media Day, so it's Duck Week in a way here
Duck
on The
week.
Fan, the home of the Ducks.
How many people thought when we teased last week it's a big week, just thought we were talking Big Ten Media Days?
Yeah, I bet you that's what people were thinking. And we will, at 8:15, do a segment called The Mail Sack, where you can text in any and all questions at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that at 8:15. Coming up next, Ben Golliver, Washington Post reporter, to talk some Blazers on The Fan.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan, our first day on FM. And it could not be done unless we had our good friend, the local legend himself, Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. Welcome back on the program, Ben Golliver.
The first official FM guest on our show.
Yeah, he's cracked. Yeah.
This is a big deal. This will be a trivia question in 30 years.
Yes,
it
will.
The first ever guest on the FM 105.1 The Fan was Ben Golliver.
And he wrote a piece on Jan Hansen at WashingtonPost.com. It's a great get to know Jan Hansen because a lot of us don't know his backstory or who he is or what he's about. We have the PS5 and the sleep thing. That's kind of it. Ben has done a deep dive and has the whole story up, WashingtonPost.com. Good morning, Ben Golliver. Welcome to 105.1 The Fan.
Wow, it feels great. I'm so glad I'm the first. You know, just the other night I was watching the Charlotte Hornets win the Las Vegas Summer League Championship. They got pretty nice rings and a gold trophy. Yeah. Do I get anything for being this first guest, or it's just sort of bragging rights? Can I expect something in the mail?
We'll send you a banner. You can raise it in your house. It's like a banner in your living room. What do you think?
I'll take it. That's the big debate, right? Like, if you win the NBA Cup, do you put it up in your arena? Some of these teams don't want to do it. I promise you I could find room for the AMFM banner. No doubt about it.
All right. Well, we'll have to send that banner to you. This piece, Ben, you do such a great job covering the league. You obviously have a little bit of a local tie-in, right, with the Blazers and the back history there. But you do a good job of covering the league in general, especially on the GOAT podcast, WashingtonPost.com. This piece, right up our alley, specifically Portland, you're at Summer League. Why Jan Hansen? Let's start there. Ben Golliver could write about anybody at Summer League to do a deep dive, a backstory. What was it about Jan Hansen that made Ben Golliver go, I got to know what's here?
Well, you know, I got to give credit to the rest of the Portland media because when I kept showing up to these games, they're like, Jan is him. You have to write about him. You have to write about him. It was peer pressure. I got bullied into it by the other writers who were down there, you know, covering the Blazers Summer League team. They're just like, this guy is so funny. The fan base already loves him. They're selling his jerseys like crazy. He's going to, you know, most likely be in the rotation, have a real role next year after the DeAndre Ayton buyout situation. And, of course, you know, for the first time in almost 20 years, you have a Chinese player as a first-round pick in the NBA, and we know how big of a basketball-loving market China is. The NBA is the most popular league in China. They have something like 600 million fans over there. And so you add all those things up, and it really felt newsworthy. And I watched him play. I mean, obviously, there's just some moments that take your breath away, right? Like, really interesting stuff with the passing guys open into space, the crazy box outs he gets into where he's just clearing like three or four people out of the way with his backside. I mean, he's playing so hard at Summer League, and he's playing every game, which is kind of the first step here in Vegas is, you know, are the stars going to play or not? Are the high lottery picks and first-round picks going to play? And so it was just great to see him build momentum. And then you look around the gym, and you've got thousands of Chinese and Chinese-American fans cheering him on. They're bringing the signs that, you know, reference sleep, PlayStation 5, and eat. They're telling, you know, Yang to dominate. In some cases, they've got the signs in Chinese lettering, which I think really appealed to him because he's like kind of made him feel like home a little bit, you know, knowing he had the support. And then I started hearing whispers about the ratings. And that's always a big topic in the NBA. You guys know, oh, is the finals rating up? Are they down? How are the Thunder doing? How are the Pacers doing? Yada, yada, yada. And I come to find out 5.2 million people in China watched one of his Summer League games. You know, Cooper Flagg's debut got 1.1 million. So he's about five times more than the hyped number one pick who went to Duke, who everybody's looked at as one of the best American prospects of the last decade, right? So those numbers were blowing my mind. Just the fact that he's a phenomenon, I think, is a part of the reason why I wanted to write about him. But of course, his sense of humor is really what pulled me to him. And I was just so glad it all came together.
I mean, as you sit down to write this, you mentioned sleep PS5. It sounds like what I want to do in my free time, just take a nap, maybe play a couple of video games here or there when allowed. When you sit down and talk to him, what were the things that stood out to you getting to know him better and a guy who, as you mentioned, has clearly become a fan favorite already in Portland?
Well, you know, he's got a great sense of humor, obviously. He's very self-deprecating. You know, he referred to himself when he was a kid as a little bit of a fat boy. And he told me that basically he got into basketball because his dad was a basketball player. And his dad essentially said, hey, I don't want you getting fat. So you got to figure out something that will get you into college. And that was sort of the push to get him into basketball. So, you know, right off the bat, he's cracking jokes and making me laugh. And of course, as we're sitting there doing the interview at the Wynn Casino, you've got kids coming up every 5 minutes asking for a photo, wanting an autograph, just kind of swarming him. Because for somebody like him, there's nowhere to hide, right? You're 7'1" and Chinese in Las Vegas. Like, you're going to attract a crowd everywhere you go. And I was just so impressed at how he dealt with the fame. You know, a lot of times in NBA history, we see the big guys, and they're very reticent in public. They're very cautious. They don't really want to interact with fans. It goes back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And you even look at Wemby. When he first came to the NBA, he was very on guard, basically at all times. And you have Young, he's kind of like a man of the people. He reminds me a little bit more of Shaq, where he always wants everything to be a joke, and he wants everybody to be in on the fun. And so, you know, that part was really interesting to see up close and personal. But, you know, you mentioned his mantra about eat, sleep, PlayStation. He had another really interesting line, and, you know, it almost reminded me of, like, have you heard of the Tao of Pooh? Like, the books that kind of, like, you know, Winnie the Pooh kind of, like, simplify his life. But, you know, he kind of came from the same perspective. He said, look, I have the eight-hour rule. If something's more than 8 hours into the future, I don't worry about it. And if it's within 8 hours, I don't worry about it too much. And you just kind of get this idea that he's a free spirit, maybe a little bit like Bill Walton, just kind of cruising through life, you know, trying to, you know, just keep a level head, stay optimistic, and stay happy. But what I love about it is when you actually watch him on the court, the competitive level is through the roof. You know, so this is not somebody who's just maybe he's not going to show up to a game because of an ice storm, right? Like, he's going to be there, I promise you. He's one of those guys where he can flip the switch and go from very easygoing, you know, fun big man to, hey, it's time to throw some elbows and go get some rebounds, crash the glass, and maybe even throw in a Euro step along the way. So just a fascinating character. And, you know, I was asking him a little bit, too, about the lineage of Chinese big men, right? Because they haven't had a ton of NBA players over the years. And it's really Yao, and you guys might remember Yi, who was a little bit more of a forward. He didn't have the world's best career. And so what Yang said was, he said he grew up watching Yao and Yi. He would sit around the television with his family and watch their games in the NBA, watch their CBA games. And those guys were sort of like his idols. And he said Yao even called him before he came to the NBA for the pre-draft process and gave him a bunch of advice about just telling him to cherish the moment, cherish every day, because it's such an incredible opportunity for a Chinese player. And look, there's no question. I mean, Yang feels insane amounts of pressure to live up to all the expectations from the Chinese fans. they had 12 media members at least there covering every single one of his summer league games. They're doing a 10-part documentary on Tencent. They've already done 9 episodes since he came to the United States in May for the pre-draft process. I mean, they're filming every aspect of this guy's life, and he handles all of it so well. He says every time the cameras are on, it's just an opportunity for him to show his sense of humor and to make people laugh.
Yeah, it's crazy. Ben Golliver, our guest here, WashingtonPost.com, wrote a really good article on Young Hansen. I want to read this quote. He's obviously talking through his interpreter, but I want to read this. I thought this was a great line as well. You talk about a sense of humor. He says, "Attention doesn't bother me. It's part of the job. It's the perfect time to show my humor. Sometimes you'll see my face goes down. That doesn't mean I'm frustrated. That means I want to go to sleep. I'll save my words sometimes because I want to go to bed," end quote. And I love it because I think it sums him up to a T. Bring the attention on, but when I'm tired, I'm unplugging with it all. I do have a general basketball question, but very quickly as I was going through and I was hearing what you were saying, it just registered to me, and I don't know if you have thought about this. Maybe you have. Maybe you already know this. This is probably going to be the most shared read article of your life, is it not?
Well, look, I mean, I had a Caitlin Clark one a couple years ago that went a lot of places. So and it's a high bar. But, yeah, you know, when you talk about the scope of the Chinese market, that's what's been so exciting to the NBA for the last 20 or 25 years. And it's been a real thorn in their side that they can't get a Chinese NBA star. I mean, Yao was such a big deal, guys. I remember when he would come through, you know, back then it was the Rose Garden. Maybe it still is the Rose Garden. We could probably agree on that, right?
Yeah.
There would be at least 5 traveling beat writers. This is almost 20 years ago for every single one of his games from China who were following him, his every move, right? And he would sometimes do 2 different press conferences, one in English, one in Chinese. The Houston Rockets back then, I mean, this is years and years ago. It feels like the early days of the internet. They would have an entire Chinese website, right? You know, separate from their English website. So I think the NBA has kind of been waiting for someone like this. Now, the big question is Yang going to be, you know, capable of continuing to move the needle, to have staying power, to work himself into the rotation, maybe to someday become a starter and a star? Those are open questions, right? I mean, he's only 20 years old. There's very limited scouting tape on him. I think the main question is just mobility and agility and endurance. Like, is he going to be able to get up and down the court and keep up with the pace of the NBA game? I think that's kind of the fundamental question with him. But just the fact that you have a Chinese first-round pick is a huge deal for an awful lot of people. And they were telling me that there's a paywall service in China. You have to subscribe to watch certain games. And more than 3 million people paid to watch one of his summer league games, right? So that's just bonkers numbers by the NBA standards, completely through the roof. And that's why the headline of this story was really that he's the star of the summer. I mean, you know, if his games in China are beating the ratings for the NBA playoff games, that tells you an awful lot, and they were.
Yeah. We're kind of against it. Might be the last one for you, at least for me. What have you made? Dame Lillard signs back to Portland. Surprises a lot of people that it happens this soon. You wrote about Young Hansen, but they already have Donovan Klingon. What do you just make of the basketball situation? Not the feel-good, not the funny, the basketball situation the Portland Trailblazers currently have.
You know, it's just still another transition, right? It's a different phase. I thought the moves to get rid of Ayton, to get rid of Simons, were right on the money. You know, I think you look at those guys, are they contributing to winning? That's the most important aspect, right? Are they making your culture better in terms of, you know, about the right values, defense, intensity, and those kinds of things? And I know I talked about it with you guys a lot last year. The Blazers' best players were Kamara and Avdija. You know, it wasn't the highly paid guys. Those were the guys who were really making a difference. And so it felt like to me that they really tried to pivot this summer and focus a little bit more on a hardworking culture, bringing in Drew Holiday. Now, the other aspect to it is I think the summer felt like an admission that they lost some people over these last couple of years. And by people, I mean fans, right? When you go out and re-sign Damian Lillard for that length of contract, that amount of money, when you take a risk like a Young Hansen in the first round, to me that says we're trying to make some moves with our fan base in mind as well as the basketball side. We want to give people a reason to cheer and a reason to be excited. And, you know, I saw all the videos going around the Rose City of people reacting to Lillard coming back. I mean, it felt like it was July 4th all over again, where the people shooting off fireworks practically, you know. And then with Young, apparently the jersey sales in the month after the draft this year were 1,000% higher than the month after the draft last year, right? So that just tells you the surge of interest there. And I have to suspect that the franchise going up for sale, there's some sort of a relationship there where they're trying to say, hey, look, we want to position this organization in a better spot, because I think ultimately the best asset that anyone is buying when they buy the Blazers is the Blazers fans, right? It's one of the best fan bases in the league. You want those fans invested, you know, coming to games, you know, making that building super loud, getting someone who wants to buy the team really excited about the opportunities to continue a legacy that goes back now 50 plus years, right? So to me, this summer was a little bit about the business side, to be honest, but it was also about trying to pivot away from some of the players who frankly were underperforming their contracts and who weren't bringing it from a leadership standpoint. So I kind of like the moves. I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference in the standings. They still got some things to shake out. But the two players I think you got to watch this upcoming season more than any others, we haven't talked about them yet, it's Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe. I mean, those guys are really playing for their next contracts. Those guys are really playing for their roles in terms of, hey, you know, if Scoot wants to, you know, be a starter down the road, Dame's coming back, Drew Holiday's in the mix, he has to show out this season. There's no question about it.
Yeah, last one for you, Ben, quickly, because we are against it. But you mentioned there the business side of it. That's something I've been bringing up, and I'm glad you did as well. I'm just curious, just general ballpark thoughts on the sale of the team, and then Adam Silver commenting the preferences for them to stay in Portland that put all sorts of antennas up in our market, and the idea that the old Rose Garden might need to be rebuilt.
Yeah, I mean, we know how tricky the arena stuff can be, right? I mean, how long have they been trying to do a baseball arena in Portland? Like, I feel like they had some really smart, good people on that baseball project. It feels like it's been 15 years, and I haven't seen it yet. I don't know. Maybe it's coming. I think that could be a real long, protracted battle. I mean, it was in Milwaukee. It was in Sacramento. The easiest way to get a building done in the NBA is to have somebody so rich they can pay for it themselves. I mean, we saw the Golden State Warriors do that. We saw, the Los Angeles Clippers and Steve Ballmer do that, right? So that's the dream, is that you sell to a whale and the whale says, look, I've got so much money. Red tape doesn't matter to me. City council, whatever you need, mayor, whatever you need, I'm going to take care of it, and I'm just going to build the arena. That's the dream scenario. Dreams don't always come true, right? And so there definitely could be a fight if the NBA wants to see a new arena and expects a new arena, and you've got a city that hasn't really been open to that kind of stuff, over the last, you know, however many years it's been. So I would hope, it doesn't take too long. This sale doesn't drag. You know, somebody who's got, you know, deep pockets emerges, and, the Blazers can get on to, I think, what's a much-deserved new era. As you guys know, these last couple of years with Jody, it's just been stasis. Everybody's been in purgatory. It's been a holding pattern. I think you got a nice bump of excitement this summer with Young and Dame, joining the mix. But I think really if you want to chart a new course and get this team back into playoff contention, back into being one of those teams that's always in the mix every single year like they were throughout the 90s and a lot of the 2000s and 2010s, you're going to need a new owner to do that. So, I guess I'm crossing my fingers right along with you guys.
Yeah, good stuff. Ben Golliver, Washington Post, wrote a great, great piece on Young Hanson, who had just got named to first team all summer league, had a great showing for the Blazers, a surprise pick in the draft. Get to know him. Read it at WashingtonPost.com. And Ben Golliver, for the first time in 105.1 Fan, the history is you were the first guest. So thank you so much for hopping on with us. Good stuff. Good piece on Young. We'll catch up with you at the end of the summer once the season's back. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. I'll just go ahead and give my address to Swag for that banner, and I'll look for it in the mail.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Ben Golliver, WashingtonPost.com, with that great piece on Young Hanson and the Blazers and potentially the arena situation. Hey, coming up next, did the Blazers just set the bar? I feel like they did, because they kind of said the thing out loud. I'll tell you what that is next on The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Our thanks to Ben Golliver of the Washington Post for joining us. Dirt and Sprague here, day one on 105.1 FM, the Fan Network, simulcast on 1080 as well. It's a big day in our office. Everybody's in.
Everybody's here is early.
The food gets delivered and everybody shows up. It's weird that
you
way.
You get free breakfast away. The herd came in, man. I love it.
We may or may not have had a sales extraordinaire just hop in the studio during the commercial break. And I said, oh, you got yourself a breakfast sandwich. And they said, yeah, and I just had a burrito, too.
Snagging like, a burrito and dipping. A sandwich. You're double dipping the chip.
That's
right.
That's what the food is for.
That's what the sales staff.
Yeah.
Oh, there's food and beverage provided.
Yeah. I will take some of that. Yes, please.
We love our sales staff. In all seriousness, I forgot to thank them as well at the front end. A lot of this doesn't happen without some of the great sales extraordinaires that we have in this building. We love you. We value you. You are important. We're going to get to the audio of the Blazers maybe setting the bar. The one thing about Joe Cronin I have said in previous press conference audio clips is he kind of always has one clip that you're like,
Oh,
is that what you wanted to say there? Did you want to let that cat out of the bag?
I think over the years he's kind of learned like say a little less.
You mean not so all in? It's gonna hurt. Maybe
that way we don't give a little
that
more
comment from the record. Maybe just an idea, a thought.
I mean, he said some stuff yesterday, but he was largely pretty quiet, and Dame did most of the talking. But that was to kind of be expected. Joe Cronin yesterday was asked about trying to kind of build this thing. I think Fentress asked this question. With Dame now here, Jrue Holiday is here. We still have Jeremy Grant, Matisse Thybulle. We got some vets here. I'd even throw Denny in that, even though he's young. He's been in the league 4 or 5 years now. Joe Cronin was asked about pressure to try to win now that Dame is back. And here is what he had to say.
We're really, really excited about the steps we've taken so far, and we know we have a really good player coming, you know, a year from now. And I think our challenge this year is to keep getting better and keep prepping to take that next step. And once Dame gets back, he's going to catapult us even further. You know, we're going to keep doing this the way we've done it. We're going to develop our guys. We're going to get better and better. We're going to be opportunistic in trades. We're going to keep recruiting in free agency and, you know, going to next summer with plenty of ammunition to keep getting better, and that's a goal. Like, it's winning time now for the Trailblazers. Chauncey and I have been saying that all year last season, and that's what this is. And, you know, how we go about that, we'll figure it out as we keep taking our steps.
There you go. It's clipped right there for Swag to make a Blazer promo. It's winning time now for the Trailblazers.
Where's the future going? It's winning time.
Look, I mean, last year we thought Tankathon, Tankapalooza, Cooper Flag, all in. And some guys overperformed, and then they played. I think it was a mix of things. They did try. They didn't openly tank, and the schedule kind of lined up nice. They played some bad teams with bad offense and bad defense, and they took advantage, and they won. And they won a lot of games, and they slipped to the 11th pick in the draft because of that, and then they traded back to 16. I mean, him just saying that out loud, man, that like that's, to me, people can disagree with this. When I hear a general manager say that, the general manager is largely the guy that you look at and say, okay, owner is in charge, but like this dude's running the ship, right? When I hear a general manager say it's winning time, I don't look at a 37-win season and say that was a good year. he didn't say playoffs.
No.
I think he is trying actively to not use that term. But when you say winning time, I am thinking play in. I'm not thinking, oh, 38 wins was cute. You almost got the 10 seed again. That's not, to me, what winning time is. Winning time is taking the steps to be the playoff team in 2 years when Dame is back.
Right.
But next year, when I hear that term from a general manager, and I get your thoughts here, I think play-in. And if it's below play-in, that's not a good season.
No, it's not. I mean, your over-under in Vegas is lower than what your win total was last year. And so that's telling you what Vegas thought. Now, their over-under in Vegas going into last year was what, 20?
I think it was 4, 23?
22 or 23 or
I mean,
24.
It was low. So
it was somewhere around
there. They clearly, you know, jumped over that hurdle. And they might end up doing the same thing this year with an over-under of 32.5, right?
And maybe they win 40-something games and they take another big step and you're feeling great about where you're at going into 2026. I think what I took out of that wasn't even necessarily about this year. And this is one of my biggest questions going forward, and it's going to dictate how I feel overall about the Lillard move. We can all acknowledge it's great. It feels good. The sentiment is there. Like, man, everything feels perfect in the world again. Damian Lillard's in a Blazer uniform. But where do you go from here? And, we keep hearing about how many assets that they have in terms of the future draft capital from Milwaukee and how great those pick swaps are going to be, and we don't know what the future of Giannis is. And all of that is very enticing to have on the open market. I view we're now in a win-now mode when Damian Lillard comes back, as in we have 1 year to figure out, do we keep either of our young guards or both of our young guards or one of our young guards? Do we keep both of our young centers? Do we build around both of our young centers? Are either of them guys that are going to be a part of the rotation for years to come? Like, I view this season as a Blazer fan as the last, let's try everybody out and see what we got. And a year from now, Dame's on the brink of coming back. We got the Bucks picks. We got a big contract in Jrue Holiday that we can try and trade. Let's package it and go make something happen. Like, that's kind of what I viewed when he said we're in winning now, is we got to figure out exactly what we got with our young guys. We feel good about two. We feel good about Denny. Now we just got to get one of those young guards and one of those centers to play good, and then we go make a move to try and compete at the highest level.
We got more cuts from Dame Lillard. We'll get to that coming up. The mail sack is about a half hour from now. If you're new to the program here on 105.1 FM, the Fan Network, Dirt and Sprague here, every Tuesday we do a segment called The Mail Sack, which is basically a Reddit AMA. Throw questions into the fan text line at 503-864-6326. You can also throw them in the YouTube chat, and we'll answer any and all questions at 8:15. That is coming up. That's around the corner. More Dame audio from his press conference yesterday, next on The Fan.
Absolutely.
Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 FM, The Fan, launch day here, Mission Control. We are in outer space, and we realize everything's a little different, but it is. We got a voice guy. It's different.
We do. A lot of people texting in. I will not answer all of the mail sack questions about those because they're all very similar, but we will get to that in the mail sack.
That will be around the corner at 8:15. If you're just getting in your car, you're just turning us on in the office, or you were flipping on Bella for, Backstreet Boys or Beyonce.
I love the Backstreet Boys and Beyonce.
I'm a big Beyonce guy. Hello, this is a sports station now.
Hey, hello, we're going to talk sports.
But we do talk other things than sports.
Yeah, we
do. On occasion.
I have a personal problem I need to get help solved in the final hour of the show.
There's a blue pill for that.
Oh.
We have a lot to get to. We were told a funny story about the launch of the station. Dusty was supposed to point to swag when everything was ready to go. And we're going to probably put out this video on our socials.
It's a great video. It feels like we're launching a space shuttle. There's like a guy in Chicago that's like, all right, we're going to count you down 3, 2, 1. It's a launch.
And so Dusty's on the horn with that guy. And then when that guy tells Dusty, Dusty points to Swag. And Dusty says, I point to Swag. And Swag just stares at me.
Let's go, Swaggart. Come on.
Slowly turned.
Hit the button.
And then hit the button. So that dead air was like 10 seconds. It felt like an hour because I'm like, oh, no, we're not ready to flip. We're not ready to flip.
It's just not going to work. Please tell me it's going to work.
More Dame Lillard audio at his press conference yesterday. He had some really good stuff, man. Some thoughtful stuff. I want to get to this. His rehab is going to be this season. I know they were dancing around that answer of, will he be back? Will he not be back? I would bet a mortgage payment he's not back. He wants to be. He says much, but he's also mature and smart.
What if they're making a play-in push with 10 games to go?
Good luck to Tamani and Denny in that play-in is what I would say. Here's Dame Lillard on the rehab and what his expectations and the team expectations are the year that he returns.
Me personally, I know how I'm going to approach the whole rehab process, taking my time. A lot of trust in the people around me, a lot of trust in the surgeon that I went to. We've stayed connected. And I think I'm a return to form. That's just my true belief. I think I'll return to form. I think with this injury, a lot of the people that I've spoke to that have experienced the injury and come back for it, a lot of the surgeons that I spoke to, a lot of the PTs that I've spoken to have shared a lot of information with me. And a lot of it was encouraging for me. And I know what my assignment is to make that happen. And that's what I've been focused on doing.
Here was Danny Meringue's question. By the way, the firm of Harrison Meringue is going to be immediately after us. If you're just tuning in, our new lineup, but kind of not new lineup, but new lineup is today. So we're going to go 6 to 10. The firm of Harrison Meringue will be 10 to 1. And then from 1 to 2, Joey Mack and the Duck Insider, because we are the flagship station of the Ducks. And then from 2 to 3, happy hour. Luke Anderson making his show debut today.
Now, I believe the rest of the week, Swag's now gone, so that's not going to help. Yeah. I don't think Duck Insider starts until next Monday.
Thank you.
I don't think so.
That information.
Because we're getting a lot of questions about that in the
so
lineup.
So what's happening 1 to 2 today?
So Luke's going to go 2 hours.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So I think the Ducks.
Nobody told me that.
Ducks Insider, Swag told me, runs from like August until May.
Wow. It actually starts next month or on Monday.
On Monday. Yeah. So next Monday. Yes. So that's how it will look.
One, had a little too much coffee this morning.
Yeah, you know, we're all over caffeinated. How was that bathroom trip? Hopefully good for you. So yes, this week I believe he will be 1 to 3. And then every May through August, so the summer, Luke will be 2 hours.
Okay.
Until Duck Insider comes back in August, and then it will be 1 to 2, 2 to 3.
I'm excited for Luke. I meant no disrespect. Literally nobody told me that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that either. But hey, we're all here. We're discovering the new world together.
Okay. But Danny was at the presser yesterday representing the fan. By the way, when he got called on, I love that he was like, Danny Meringue, what if I won? I was like, oh yeah,
it's real.
The announcement's been made. He asked Dame what it's like to be the flag bearer for Portland, the city, the franchise.
The city of Portland and the Trailblazers as an organization is just important to me. It's never been something that I've had to try and go out and do, you know, and make myself something. It's just how I feel. And I go off of, you know, what my true feelings are. So, it was always genuine for the first 11 years of my career, and it was also always organic. You know, I never had to go out of my way to do something or make something appear to be a certain way, and I think this will be the same. You know, I don't need to try to announce myself as that or anything. I just operate as myself, and that's always been good enough, and I think especially at this stage of my career, you know, I think it'll remain the same.
I want to get to it. We're probably not going to get to it now. We'll have to carry it over. He was asked about the mindset, which I think this probably was my favorite answer. There were great questions asked. There were great answers given.
There were.
But just his mindset of dealing with the injury, we'll get to that clip of how much and how important. He noted Scoot first. His locker's next to Scoot.
Yes, it is.
And so as we carry this over into the second hour and we get to some more stuff here, it's just like, you know, I think he's going to go out of his way. I said the other day, young guys have to want to be mentored, I think, in that league. It's not just the old vets. Like, their businesses, their entities. I think Scoot is going to go out of his way to get mentored. But I also think he is prioritizing trying to get this dude in the right direction. He had a nice little second year for himself, but still didn't pop. And so I think this is a massive year, and he wants to be kind of that guiding light for Scoot Henderson.
I think that's the quickest way that he can have an impact, because he's clearly not going to play this season. And so you got two guards, one who's going into his fourth year with a decision on a long-term contract extension, and the other who is going into his third year with an opportunity of, can you do it? Like, it's kind of now or never in my mind for both those guys. Not that they can't be good NBA players, but can they be a guy that you can build a team around? Now's when you have to decide.
Loaded second hour. Josh paid at 8:45, but we kick it off. Dame Lillard on the mindset getting through this injury at his age. Another hour, Dirt and Sprague. We roll on 105.1 FM, the Fan Network.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.